This is Twit.
Now, I can say that in my career, I've definitely done a swap or even a shadowing of a job, of a different job than I already have, whether it's support engineering or even an IT role or a data center role. But what I have never done is actually a security engineer. Now, what if a security engineer and a software engineer actually swapped roles? How do you think that would go? Well, Curtis, want to take us through that journey?
Well, in a presentation at Black Hat this week, we heard from a security engineer and an infrastructure engineer, both of them with Salesforce, who shared lessons that they learned from their professional role reversal and some advice that they had for people on each team. Now, this is not an entirely new concept. At large corporations, as part of their management training programs, it's very common for them to take people who are seen as high potential, people who are training to become executives, and run them through a wide variety of operational departments. That's fairly normal. What's less common is to have technical professionals who swap jobs. Now, as part of the job, principal security engineer Craig Ingram was dropped into the Salesforce runtime team, and principal infrastructure engineer Camille McKinnon joined the platform security assessment team. One of the things that they gave as takeaways were the importance of planning and prioritization. You know, Ingram on the runtime team said that engineers spent much of their time looking at competing priorities and deciding what they were going to work on. That's in addition to the new features they had to develop and bug fixes to improve scalability and performance on the platform. Now, of course, the security team was also coming around asking for bug fixes. It was another thing entirely to live through this process, Craig said. Even though he said he thought he was pretty empathetic to the balance that engineers needed to have between the ongoing engineering work and projects from security and other interruptions. Ingram explained that this is how engineering teams scale. They break projects down into parts. Many of them use objectives and key results, or OKRs, to determine what needs to get done and define what the results should be. And it's a measurable way to ensure whether or not a project was successful. Ingram said, it's time for security engineers to learn the sort of ruthless prioritization that the operations people have as their day-to-day way of getting things done. Maybe implementing the latest tool you saw isn't as effective as implementing a supply chain security tool that can test for code changes in open source packages. Now, another helpful practice was the retrospective, which the runtime team did every week to review what they had completed or go over an incident that caused downtime or maybe a security problem. Retrospectives are blameless. They don't look at assigning blame. They look at what happened. And it's a safe time to have a comfortable conversation about what goes well, what's not going well, what a team wants to keep doing, and what they want to improve. Now, McKinnon emphasized the importance of listening to engineers and asking for user feedback. She said engineering teams rely on product managers and professional user researchers to do customer interviews and create products that suit their needs. And she says that security can do a lot of the same. Even if you have to say no in some cases, having an engineer who actually understands that you looked at their need, that you understand why they're trying to get there faster and have tried to work around the problems so that you can help them build something more secure, is going to go a long way towards making sure that the recommendations are likely to be followed. Start with small development, small changes. Start changing how you do things. Start using software engineering principles and changing how your team does planning. She also recommended that security teams do retrospectives. Look at what has gone well in the past week. Look at where the issues were, whether they involved a complete breach or not. If you work and act like the teams you're partnered with, she says, you're going to end up with a much better and more secure process for everyone. So, Lou, let me come to you first. What do you think about this idea of swapping jobs with someone on a different team? You know, in a case of someone like you in your day job, perhaps swapping with someone on the OS team or swapping with someone on a security team. Do you think there could be value in a swap like that?
Yeah, I definitely think a swap is, you know, you're kind of throwing a person in the deep end almost to go and experience the other person's career. And I think that can actually create a ton of empathy for the types of things they have to handle. Now, I haven't done a swap, but I have done a job shadow. In fact, I've even worked in the case of being an embedded engineer where I've actually embedded into another team, still maintained my role, but kind of shadowed what they did and understood, you know, the different things that they had to handle. Both inside the company and I've actually done with customers, so large organizations outside the company. And I can tell you that one thing, it gives you a completely different perspective on how things are handled there. And you actually do create a kind of a customer point of view slash partner point of view when you do other things. So when I'm developing software, I think, you know what? Like, I've been in a case where customers might use it in a particular way, which we never thought we're going to use it that way. Because I've been in that situation, I actually got to live it. And so I kind of gained that empathy for making sure that we handle particular scenarios, use cases because of that. And so I can definitely see the advantage of doing this in cases like security, because in software engineering, you tend to do things, build software in a way, and you might not really necessarily understand all the different attack vectors or facets that somebody can go and take down your service or even remove data or take data from your service. And so being in the shoes of a security engineer and understanding and trying to figure out those different vectors can be really important. So I definitely think this is a great exercise. And I encourage a lot of organizations to do it because it definitely helps for not only point of view, but definitely from an empathy perspective.
You know, I love that idea of the empathy perspective. And that's something that I did a little research on long ago when I was in graduate school. You know, this is such an important thing that in the research and scientific world, they've created a whole new branch. It's called translational science. And this isn't translating into other languages, well, slightly, I suppose, because it's aimed at getting people in different disciplines of science to talk to one another at all. Brian, you spent the last couple of decades primarily in the scientific and research arenas. First of all, do you think that there could be value in having people from one department or one discipline spend time on teams from other disciplines or other departments? And B, do you think there's a snowball's chance in hell that they would agree to do it?
For the most part, I don't think so. So let's back up a little bit. My entire position at the university was originally designed by the head of admin of my college. They wanted me to go in as a generalist, one that, you know, knew communications, networks, systems, and things like that. So basically, I was a consultant. They wanted me to go in and go bopping around between the different research groups for the specific reason of creating an opportunity for cross-pollination of processes, data, thought, research, and things like that. It worked reasonably well, but sadly, the money wasn't there. Now, going a little further back, what I used to like doing as a project team or, you know, for the government was I would go and try purposely to swap people around. So it worked. The biggest one where it succeeded the best was actually on a program to update the PKI facilities for the FBI LEGET program. And the idea was I swapped my engineers around, my technicians and so forth, to try and make sure everybody tried out, took a test drive on someone else's job. And it was twofold. One, I wanted them to appreciate what each person did and to have a fresh set of eyes on how the process should or would work. But mostly, I also wanted to make sure that I had redundancy in my roles. I didn't want to have the ability, I didn't want to have someone so key to the organization, if they got hit by a Mack truck, my entire house of cards would fall down. So I used it as for redundancy within my staffing, but I also did it to make sure that there was some opportunity for the cross-pollination. So I really like this process. I've tried to do it as much as possible. Sadly, the number one reason why I wasn't able to do it on more projects is mostly because of managers that refused to let me pull this off.
Well, I think that that's interesting, talking about management resistance to something that came from a particular level of management. That's something we see far too often. And Lou, I'm going to turn back to you for the final question. You know, with things like Brian was talking about, the political issues, the management issues, do you see any downside to this kind of job swapping? Are there any drawbacks? Or is that going to be something that is specific to particular organizations depending on their politics and their culture?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. I think it's definitely particular to particular organizations. But there could be drawbacks. Obviously, there could be some reversal where somebody goes and works in a particular role and thinks, this is easier than I thought, that you don't have to handle as much. Maybe it's in a particular week that's kind of quiet, or if it's a particular time frame or period that's quiet. And so that could actually have backblow, meaning that now you go back to your role and think, that's an easy role. Maybe I should go do that role instead. Or, so there definitely could be backblow. But again, from a politics perspective, that's also very particular to different organizations and leadership and in those organizations. So, there could be means where you go and work in a different role where the politics is just too strong, where you're not used to it. And it definitely has a negative context and a negative point of view from that perspective. And so, there is things could go wrong. But, what I've seen is most of the time, these types of swapping, shadowing, that kind of thing, usually has a pretty positive effect because it's you experiencing in a case study kind of way somebody else's shoes and understanding the complexity that goes along with it. And that usually has a pretty positive effect on people's point of views.
Well, this is one of those things. A lot of organizations are recognizing the value of cross-training across different disciplines. The military is one. 40 years ago, if you wanted to rise through the ranks of a particular branch of service, having experience in a separate branch put an end to that. These days, it has swapped around so that if you want to be especially colonel or above in rank by the end of your career, you must have spent time working within another service in order to get that far. Here's hoping that more and more organizations are going to follow that lead.